For the second year in a row, this is your NXT TakeOver In Your House review. I am the Solemn Monster here with you for what I thought was one of the weakest NXT TakeOver shows that I have ever seen. And I think that our expectations for TakeOver are so high that when you get a show where there are a lot of good matches up and down the card, unless they're really, really good or really out of this world extraordinary, it comes across as a disappointment. That was the feeling I was left with. Not after the main event. I thought the main event ended up being an excellent match. When this show was over and I look back up and down the card, I think to myself, this is one of the most disappointing TakeOver shows that I've ever seen. Because the expectations are so sky high. First of all, Vic Joseph needs to calm the fuck down. I understand this enthusiasm they want their announcers to have, the constant ooh, 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 oh, it's got to stop. Seriously, it's got to stop. He's a capable announcer. I've heard him do commentary before, but what they have turned him into is actually taking away from the commentary. Enough with the oohs and the ohs and the ahs, please. That's number one. Second of all, they have to get out of the CWC. I'm sure that they're already putting plans together to try to get NXT, the big shows, back on the road. I hope they are. I hope they are, and all they're doing is sort of waiting. You know, the main roster, they're going to be back on the road next month, starting July 16. Let them go first. I'm hoping that's all this is, because I heard Triple H on that conference call the other day, and he was asked about whether or not they plan on going back to Full Sail, for example. He sounded very noncommittal. He was very adamant that the Capitol Wrestling Center is our home. This is where we're going to be. When it comes to these TakeOver shows, I certainly hope that's not the case. I'm hoping this is the last TakeOver show that they do in Orlando, because it really affected the show tonight in a very negative way. And I don't blame the wrestlers for that, but in terms of the atmosphere and the environment of the show, this is just dying a death. This show died a death tonight because of how quiet it was. There's no life to it. Todd Pettengill came out, you know, after the show opened. He came out for the introduction of the show, and he came out to announce that this is the biggest crowd to date here at the COVID Coliseum that we've had yet. You would never know. Just by watching this show, you would never even know because of how quiet they were. It was like a fucking funeral for most of the matches on this show tonight. And they were absolutely piping in crowd chants. I got a couple of tweets about that. Oh, does it seem to you like they're piping in crowd chants? Oh, yeah. And I noticed it especially during the ladder match where they were piping in this is awesome chants. So they were definitely doing that. So I'm hoping that as quickly as humanly possible, they get the fuck out of that building, at least for the big TakeOver shows, because this crowd did not do this show any favors tonight. We're in my house tonight, okay? You were in WWE's house for this show. Now you're in my house. So take your shoes off, okay? We don't walk around in our shoes here. Take a seat, grab a drink, grab a snack. We're going to go over the entire card, and then we'll get through your messages. I will read each and every super chat that you guys send into me. The nostalgia, though, was strong with this show, right from the open. They had the old WWF signature from the mid-90s with the lightning and the logo, that, you know, that box logo that comes down. NXT, for nearly a decade, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment. And then they went into a Todd Pettengill voiced intro video with old production music, which I love, and I wish they would use that more often. The old, like, stock music that WWE used to use for their opening video packages on television. Doc Hendricks made an appearance at the end of this as well. See, this is part of what I grew up on. I mean, this is not what I grew up on as, like, a little kid, but this is still what I grew up on when I was coming up a wrestling fan, when I was coming up a WWE fan. So, I love shit like this. They had a woman come out named Naomi Fox. I don't know who this woman is. Obviously, she's a singer. Naomi Fox came out, and she did an absolutely dreadful job of lip-syncing this In Your House theme song that they were using. Oh, my God. This was awful. I don't know. You know, sometimes when you have people who are singing or doing lip syncing or whatever they may be doing, and they have an earpiece in, and maybe there's a delay. So I don't want to put all the blame on her, but whatever the case may be, this was not good. But the show opened with Bronson Reed and MSK meeting Legado del Fantasma in a six-man tag. Winner take all. Bronson Reed's North American Championship was on the line. MSK had their NXT tag team titles on the line as well. I thought this was a really fun opener. Legado could do nothing to the big man early on. Joaquin Wilde, Raul Mendoza were running into him like running into a brick wall. He wouldn't even budge. We had Nash Carter hitting a moonsault out to the floor. Joaquin Wilde took out Carter with a dive, and then Lee and Mendoza had to hit dives of their own. It was Dive City, Dive Central here in this match. Of course, they were building to the big man. They were building to a Bronson Reed dive because he doesn't want to be left out. If everybody else is going to dive, why shouldn't he take a dive? So he dives through the ropes with a giant tope. Back in the ring, MSK, they tried for a double team. Legado, though, finally got the advantage. We had a top rope Hurricane Rana from Santos Escobar for a near fall. Assisted 450 from Joaquin Wilde. And finally, Wes Lee escaped, got the tag to Bronson Reed. He had a double Samoan drop on Wilde and Mendoza, stacked them up and dropped them. Reed wanted Escobar to tag in. He didn't seem all that interested in doing so until his boys gave Reed a chop block to the knee. Of course, I don't have to say to the knee. That's what a fucking chop block is. You know that. Escobar tagged in. And this was maybe the most impressed I was in this match. Escobar comes in and he hits a Michinoku driver to Bronson Reed. I was very impressed by that. And I've said before, you know, it was nice that he had that run with the Cruiserweight title, but now it's over. It probably went a little bit longer than it needed to, but he is so much better than that. Like, he could go so much higher than the Cruiserweight title. You know, he's not the biggest guy, but he's not the smallest guy either. And he can get in the ring and do something like a Michinoku driver to Bronson Reed. So I was very impressed by that. Nash Carter broke up the pin. Escobar grabbed the North American belt outside the ring. He went over, he spotted the title, he picked it up. And you could see, because the camera kind of picked up, that Reed was kind of coming. So you knew that they were going to do some kind of spot with Bronson Reed. All of a sudden, here comes Bronson Reed. He blindsides him, running splash right into the plexiglass barricade, which broke. Down goes Santos Escobar. He's out for the count. And inside the ring, a Mendoza dive got cut off by a super kick. MSK hit the assisted blockbuster. And then the North American champion went up high, climbed up to the top rope, and hit the tsunami splash for the win. I thought this was really good. It did not need the winner-take-all stipulation. I think it was just tacked on. They wanted to make the match feel special, but it really was not necessary. The outcome really was not in doubt. Less so for the tag team titles. I mean, I could see the tag titles changing hands. But once, you know, you have winner-take-all, and that means the North American title would change hands as well, there was no way they were going to take that title so soon off Bronson Reed. He just won the fucking thing. So, you know, for me, the outcome here was probably as predictable as any match on this show. But Bronson Reed, I have to say, has one of the best-looking finishes in the entire company. Not just NXT, the entire WWE. He's a big man. And he comes off the top rope. Montez Ford, his frog splash is very impressive, but in a different way. It's not as impactful as Bronson Reed. So that actually might be my favorite finish right now in the company. So I like this opener. That brought us to Mercedes Martinez against Xia Li. Before the match, Todd Pettengill had they had various comedy segments throughout the night with Todd, who was like stuck in a time warp from the 1990s. Here in this segment, he had a VHS copy of the Mae Young Classic from 4 years ago. He was about to pop it into this small TV or a VCR and play it on this small TV. Mackenzie Mitchell showed up and said, "What are you doing? Everything's digital now. All we just have to throw it to the truck and they'll just play it." And they threw it to the video package. They had highlights. They had footage of Mercedes Martinez beating Xia Li in the Mae Young Classic 4 years ago, which is sort of the genesis of this match. Also, Todd made a crack about Stephanie Wyand. He thought Mackenzie Mitchell was Stephanie Wyand at first and made a crack about how me and her never had any chemistry. I don't know how many of you even know that name. I don't know how many of you were watching back then. Stephanie Wyand was a woman they brought in for a cup of coffee. I mean, she was there maybe a few months. Charlie Min, I remember him. I'm really going back now. Some of these people they brought in to do announcing, they didn't last very long. So I did pick up on that Stephanie Wyand crack. This match here, I thought this was just okay. This was a match that you would find any given week on USA Network if you watch NXT on television. Nothing that rose to the level of a takeover match. They were trading strikes in the ring. Xia Li was maintaining control. A lot of knee strikes, a lot of kicks. Martinez avoided an attack in the corner, hit a cliffhanger for a near fall. Boa! Our boy Boa was out there. Boa pulled Xia Li out to safety at one point. Mercedes Martinez went outside to confront him. She spots Xia Li behind Boa coming towards her, shoves Boa out of the way and gives Xia Li a back body drop on the floor. So she smacked the ground back in the ring. As Mercedes got back inside, she got caught by surprise by a cyclone kick and pinned. So, aside from a few other offensive moves, I basically just described the entire match to you. There really wasn't much to it. After the match, Boa threw Xia a chair. When she was about to use it, though, Mercedes kicked her legs out from under her. She kicked her leg out of her leg. And Martinez grabbed the chair, hit both Boa and Li with it. It looked like she gave Boa a chair shot to the head at one point. She was beating the hell out of these people with this chair. So then, all of a sudden, the spooky effects begin to play, and out comes Lily the Doll. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong show. I'm having a Raw flashback to Monday night. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury just became a sound-off superstar. Thank you. We have a new channel member. Everybody say hello to Fluff Salisbury, one of my favorite YouTube names. But anyway, spooky effects began to play. I don't believe it was Alexa's doll. We have to deal with that tomorrow night. But it was Mei Ling. It was Mei Ling, who, again, I assume is Karen Q, but you can't tell because the hair is blocking her face. She rose from her throne. She actually stood up this time. And Mercedes Martinez said that she's not afraid of her, and she went out onto the ramp. They had a ramp that connected to the ring. And they both came together to confront one another face-to-face. So Mei Ling reached out and grabbed Mercedes by the neck for the Tongan Death Grip. She put the Tongan Death Grip on her, which Mercedes was able to break free of. She actually hit her with a chair. But again, Mei Ling puts on the Tongan Death Grip and grabs her by the throat. And then she tossed her off the ramp into the barricade. It was a pretty cool-looking spot. So that's the most action we've seen so far from Meng. Or Mei Ling, fucking Meng. I'm talking about the Tongan Death Grip. I'm thinking of Meng. May as well be Meng. Maybe it's Meng. Maybe we can't see. He's wearing a wig. Who knows? I know, you know, Meng used to have the big clown hair. I mean, his hair was all poofed out. He had the big, you know, the big clown hair, bad hair day. But anyway, so that's the most action we've seen out of Mei Ling thus far. The match itself, though, nothing special. Nothing to sing home about. Hey, Nervious Games, what's going on, man? I hope you're doing well. Let's switch views. There we go. There we go. I love that In Your House logo. That's the thing about these In Your House shows. I always love the logo. I think it's the colors. Missed opportunity tonight, by the way, having the white ropes instead of the red, white, and blue ropes. Should have been thinking about that. But we got to what was, yeah, this probably was my favorite part of the entire show. As great as the main event turned out to be, this, I think, was my favorite match of the night. It was time to climb the ladder of success to crown, reach over here, to crown, if I may, had this, a new $1 million champion. Yes, the $1 million title on the line in this match. First time they were crowning a new $1 million champion in about a decade. Cameron Grimes against LA Knight. Ted DiBiase was out with his security guards, who had the $1 million belt in a glass case, which ended up being suspended above the ring. They suspended the entire glass case with the belt inside by a hook above the ring. And, you know, this was, at the beginning, it was any ladder match that you've seen before here on NXT. Back and forth, they bring, you know, ladders into play and everything, and you just kind of get numb to it after a while. But what kind of woke me up here, not that I was sleeping through this, but, you know, again, basic stuff. And then they did this disgusting spot where LA Knight hit a neckbreaker to Cameron Grimes on the ladder. He hit a neckbreaker on the ladder that looked sickening. A very dangerous-looking spot, but brutal. I mean, if you were in a ladder match and you were trying to win, you would do shit like that. So, gnarly spot. Grimes then comes back. He hits a series of kicks. I wrote down yes kicks, because that's basically what they were. Nobody was chanting yes, but he was hitting the yes kicks. And I kind of smiled, because if you listen to the podcast earlier today, and I did a Q&A for my channel members here on YouTube a few weeks ago, and I mentioned this because somebody asked me the question, do I know, as I look at the roster right now in WWE, is there anybody who I think could end up catching fire the way Daniel Bryan did and could get over at that level and get that level of fan support? And I said, no, not on the main roster, but in NXT, Cameron Grimes is the guy. And then I'm watching him do yes kicks tonight, and I just couldn't help but crack a smile. So he's kicking the shit out of this guy. And then he backdrops LA Knight onto a ladder that is propped up against the ropes. Knight then gets backdropped a second time, this time onto a ladder bridge outside the ring. There's Nakamura doing the dance. By the way, somebody counted on the breaking news stream I did a few weeks ago when all those people got released. We picked up a ton of new subscribers. I guess somebody went back and counted that night. They saw dancing Nakamura on the screen. Every time we get a new channel subscriber, we see Nakamura dancing. 104 times during that stream, Nakamura was dancing on the screen. So he got his comfy shoes on that night. But Carlos, thank you for becoming a subscriber. I don't think we're going to see Nakamura 104 times tonight. Although if we do, it would be a good night. But he backdrops LA Knight a second time. There was a ladder bridge outside the ring. And Grimes then walks down the ramp to retrieve the gold-painted ladder. This is the golden ladder of success. He retrieves it, and he brings it back to the ring with him. And he begins to climb. He got his fingertips on the case with the belt inside. But Knight meets him up top. Knight gets knocked off. But then he pushes the ladder over. Grimes gets hung up across the top rope. LA Knight whips Grimes into a ladder on the floor. But instead of smashing into it, Grimes jumps onto the ladder and begins to climb. Knight pushes that ladder over, and Grimes grabs onto one of those steel columns that they have that's part of the staging in the building there. And he climbs that a little bit, and he dives off with a crossbody down onto LA Knight. I would say maybe he was about, I don't know, 8 feet up, 8 or 9 feet up, maybe 10. So Grimes climbs the gold ladder in the ring, and LA Knight tried to powerbomb him out of the ring, but Grimes turned it into a Rana, takes LA Knight out to the floor. Grimes skins the cat back inside, and now he is ready to go to the moon. He is ready to become the $1 million champion. And he begins climbing, and he almost had the belt, but Knight pushes the ladder over, and Cameron Grimes crashes through a ladder bridge that Knight had set up a few minutes earlier on the ramp. And that spells the end for poor Cameron Grimes. He wasn't moving after that. LA Knight climbs the ladder. He unhooks the case and claims the $1 million title, which Ted DiBiase then took out of the case and presented to him after the match was over. I was getting strong Ringmaster vibes, just visually, looking at LA Knight, holding that title up in the air the way that he was, the $1 million belt. Hopefully he will have better luck with that belt than the Ringmaster did. But I enjoyed this match. I thought this was a very good ladder match. A lot of these ladder matches are the same. A lot of them run together. There's a lot of very dangerous spots. Obviously, it's a ladder match, so it's kind of unavoidable, but I thought that these guys put together a very good match, and I thought it was the right outcome. I know not everybody might agree with that, but I said going in, this title, when you just look at these two guys, right, it was tailor-made for LA Knight. Cameron Grimes did not need to win this championship. Just imagine Cameron Grimes winning the title in this match, and now he's the million-dollar champion. He's already been running around for months, right, with the skits and the videos, throwing his money around. What does he gain by winning the million-dollar title? He's in the middle, it feels like, of a slow-burn babyface turn. So you put more sympathy on him. He doesn't have to win this match. He's going to be fine. LA Knight, though, is tailor-made for this. So it was the right outcome. The right person won. I think he'll do well with it. How long they're going to keep this title around for, I don't know. I guess that's maybe the bigger question. Is it going to be a case where the million-dollar belt is around for a few weeks or a couple of months and then it disappears? Who knows? But this was my favorite match on the entire show, and I thought it was the right winner at the end of the day. Cameron Grimes is going to be a huge babyface. I think he is slowly on his way to that. I think that the turn has already begun. And just, you know, if you think that he should win the million-dollar title, who's to say he doesn't win it at the next TakeOver show? By then, hopefully they're out of this building and they're in a much bigger building. I would love to see Cameron Grimes get a big win in front of a nice big crowd that actually gives a shit. So it didn't have to happen on this show tonight. Ember Moon and Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT Women's Championship. Speaking of predictable outcomes here on this show, Ember hit a code red for an earfall. She locked on a modified deathlock until Dakota Kai helped out Raquel by helping her to reach the ropes a couple of different times. Dakota Kai got involved in that way in this match. Gonzalez and Kai, they regrouped on the floor together, and Ember Moon decided to take out Raquel with a tope through the ropes. We saw a lot of those on the show tonight as well. Dakota distracted Ember while Ember had climbed up to go, I assume, go for the eclipse. That gave Raquel time to hit a superplex, and Raquel went for her one-arm powerbomb finish. Ember cradled her for a near fall. Gonzalez came back with a big boot for a near fall of her own. Went for a suplex, but Ember turned it into a modified eclipse. And Ember caught the champion with a jawbreaker, followed that up with a diving code breaker, and she hit the eclipse. But there's Dakota Kai getting involved again, putting Gonzalez's foot on the ropes. Out comes Shotzi Blackheart, who on Twitter had claimed to some random Twitter person who asked, that, are you injured? Where is she? Where is Shotzi Blackheart? And Shotzi said, yup. So there she was, apparently not injured. Now she comes and she chases Dakota Kai to the back. Ember hits a tornado DDT on the ramp to Raquel. And she went for another eclipse in the ring. Gonzalez caught her, though, hit snake eyes across the top post. And the one-arm powerbomb followed for the win. So Ember had a chance to shine. I thought Ember Moon looked good in this match. Raquel Gonzalez looked dominant. Exactly the way that you would want to book your champion to look by the time this match was over. She looked dominant. But it wasn't a total squash. You know, Ember had time to shine, but there was never any doubt that Ember Moon was not going to win this match. There was zero chance that Ember Moon was going to walk away with the women's title. And now, I would not at all be surprised to see them build up Shotzi Blackheart for a title match. In fact, they announced tonight, they had a commercial that aired not long after this, advertising the Great American Bash is coming back. It will be a themed episode of NXT on USA Network on Tuesday, July 6th. Maybe they build up a women's title match for Shotzi Blackheart and Raquel Gonzalez on that show. And much like Ember, it will be another win, another body to barrel over for Raquel Gonzalez, because she will be holding on to that title for quite some time. I thought they had a good match. Todd Pettengill was in the back playing the old Milton Bradley Karate Fighters right out of 1995. Dexter Loomis showed up to join him, and they start playing, and Todd made the mistake of asking him how things are going with the ladies, with his love life. Obviously, things are not going too good with him and Indy Hartwell, and so Dexter stopped dead in his tracks. He broke Todd's karate fighter figure before walking off. I did mark out a little bit for the karate fighters, although I never owned the karate fighter. I was too old by that point for the karate fighters, but I do miss that. I do miss that kind of cheesy shit that they used to do. Todd is very good in this role. Todd is very good. Now, you know, I get them maybe dusting him off once a year to do the In Your House thing, but you would get no complaints out of me if we saw more Todd Pettengill on WWE television. He's very good in that role. They have not corrupted him the way that they've corrupted everybody else. I don't see Todd Pettengill out there going, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Was he fucking Roman Reigns here? Ooh, ah. No, Todd Pettengill, he is a professional. He knows what to do when he's out there. He is perfect in that role. They don't deserve Todd Pettengill. We had the main event. Fatal 4-way. Fatal 5-way. What am I talking about? Fatal 5-way for the NXT champion. They just shoved everybody in this match. Karrion Kross defending against Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Kyle O'Reilly, and Pete Dunne. Gargano is out there cosplaying as Shawn Michaels. Pete Dunne and Adam Cole both have new theme music, and it sucks. No need to change that. Why would you change Adam Cole's theme song? Why? Because there's no more Undisputed. This song was perfect for him. Now it's some generic rock theme, guitar riff. What a fucking dumb decision that was. So Cross and Pete Dunne, they tangle first in the middle of the ring, and then it was Cross and Gargano. Adam Cole, at one point, retreated out to the ramp, and Karrion Kross looked straight at him and called him a son of a bitch. Where are you going? I'm not done with you. And Cole said, well, I'm not done with you either. And Cross chased him down in the rampway, and he got Cole up in a powerbomb position, but Cole raked the eyes. And Pete Dunne and Johnny Gargano showed up on the ramp. They sent Karrion Kross through the front door of the In Your House set, which took Kross out of the match for a few minutes. Back in the ring, Cole had Kyle O'Reilly all by himself until Johnny Gargano and Pete Dunne came back. Dunne hit the bitter end, or went for a bitter end, that Johnny countered into a spike DDT. So finally, after about, I don't know, 5 minutes maybe, here comes Karrion Kross. And he is none too happy. He is throwing guys around, suplexing them around left and right, outside the ring. All these tiny little men, he is throwing them around. He just fucking destroyed everybody. Johnny Takeover, he got a flurry of offense in a few minutes later. He tried. He was trying his damnedest to get this crowd into this match. Flying around, hitting all kinds of moves. I just stopped. I'm trying to keep track of what's going on. I'm like, fuck this. I can't do this. He's going from one move to the next spot, to the next. Total spot fest here. I just said, you know what? I'll wait for the next sequence. I'm not keeping track of this. This is ridiculous. Cole and O'Reilly, they powerbomb Cross on the announce desk, which did not break. But again, that took the champion out of the match for a few minutes. All four remaining men, get in the ring, and they start going at it. Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly, they put out Cole and Gargano in submission holds, and then they turn their attention to each other, and they attack. We got double super kicks from Cole and Gargano to Pete Dunne as he was coming off the ropes. That corner thing, Daniel Bryan did that in every match where he would run into the corner and do kind of a flip off the ropes. Well, as Dunne was flipping in midair, he was upside down, he got super kicked. Two super kicks. So that was pretty cool. Gargano with the double Gargano escape to Cole and Dunne, but O'Reilly runs in with a knee to the back of the head to break things up. Adam Cole shoved Kyle O'Reilly off the ropes as he was going up top for a move. And Cole hits the Panama Sunrise to Johnny Gargano. Pete Dunne drags Cole out of the ring, and he hits a brainbuster on the floor, and uh-oh, he looks over. And the champion is back up. And Karrion Kross does not look very happy. So Dunne scurries back into the ring. He baits Kross into the ring with him. They start going at it. And he hits the bitter end. But Karrion Kross kicked out. Kicked out of his finish. He got a shoulder up. Dunn transitions into a triangle choke on Kross until all three other guys jump in to break it up. Karrion Kross puts the Kross jacket on Pete Dunn, but he snaps the fingers. Pete Dunn, that's how he breaks out. Does the finger snap. Gargano hits one final beat to Pete Dunn. And then Kross reaches over. He locks the Kross jacket on Gargano. Cole is back and O'Reilly. Knee drop off the top rope to Karrion Kross by Kyle. He's got him pinned, but Adam Cole hits Kyle with a super kick right in the side of the head. Kyle comes back, though, with a heel hook on Cole, and while he has Adam Cole in this, I don't know if it was a knee bar. I wrote down heel hook. It was either a heel hook or a knee bar. But as he had him in this submission hold, Karrion Kross grabs O'Reilly from behind and puts him in the choke. And O'Reilly still has the hold on Cole. He's got the hold on Cole, not on warm. He won't let go, but he's going out because Kross has got that choke sunk in deep. And finally, Kyle goes out. Referee calls for the bell. And Karrion Kross is still your NXT champion. An excellent main event marred very early on by a dead crowd. But these guys busted their asses. They had a great match. I don't get the sense, at least not from this crowd, that they are all too enthusiastic about Karrion Kross being the champion. But, you know, as far as trying to make Kross come out of this match looking like a, you know, like a final boss, they did as good of a job as they could do. I mean, they put him in the ring with four other guys, right? That's the good part for Karrion Kross. He beat these four guys. He was dominant in doing so. That's the good news. The bad news is, where does he go from here? What's next for Karrion Kross? Who is left for him to beat? Finn Balor has not been seen in weeks. You can't just go back to Kross and Balor. It's been done. Balor needs to move on. Whether that's the main roster, whether that's some other personality in the NXT system, maybe he goes to NXT UK and mix it up with Walter, whatever it may be, it's not going to be Balor. And after tonight, it's probably not going to be Cole. It's not going to be O'Reilly, Dunn, Gargano. Why would it be? He beat them all. So who's left? Bronson Reed is an intriguing option, but he's the North American champion. I mean, we did get a winner-take-all match at the Great American Bash. Was it last year? I guess it would have been last year. Between Keith Lee and Adam Cole. I don't know if they're going to make that an annual tradition. They could always go that route. I wouldn't do that. I don't think you need to do champion against champion. But, you know, after Bronson Reed, I'm struggling here to figure out who would make for the best opponent for Karrion Kross. Who will take the title from Kross? And there's no singular name that really jumps out at me. So that, to me, is a problem. Because where do you go from here other than just running back the same match with one of these four guys? Yeah, I mean, you got Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa doing the tag team thing, so I don't think it's going to be Ciampa. I don't know. I'd have to look at the NXT roster and see. Maybe there's some new talent they're going to be bringing in. He retained the title, so it doesn't seem to me that Kross is on his way up. I said anyway, I mean, if anybody is going to go up, it's going to be Balor, I think, more than Kross. So that's one of the biggest questions really coming out of that main event, I think. But then the show was not over yet. Mackenzie Mitchell was trying to catch up in the back with William Regal as Regal was walking out of the building. And when Regal turned around to talk to her, he looked like he had been crying. I don't know if somebody had sent him, you know, maybe Todd Pettengill had gone to the vault to retrieve a VHS tape of last Monday's Raw show, and he was watching Raw and he'd been crying. But he clearly had been very emotional for some reason. And Regal talked about the fact that, you know, I've been doing this now for 7 years here in NXT. And the bedlam in this company, on this brand, has never been as bad as it is right now. And he teased, without saying this directly, he teased the fact that maybe it is time for a change, implying that maybe we need somebody new in power. William Regal may be going away as the general manager of NXT. He's the best authority figure in wrestling. I know it's been a long time, but Regal is great. I don't want to see Regal go away. We need Regal as a television character. If he's not going to be the GM, then what's he going to be? He's not going to be an announcer. I don't think he's going to be a manager. We need Regal on TV. So what I'm hoping for, because obviously they're going to be bringing somebody else in as the GM or maybe a co-GM, somebody to help him. That's what I'm hoping for. That they're not replacing Regal so much as they're bringing some muscle in. Maybe he's going to bring somebody in who can really kind of lay down the law. And that makes me think of the same name that I'm sure a lot of you guys are thinking, which is Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe has been in the news. Fightful, I believe, is the one who broke the story that there has been a lot of chatter within the walls of the CWC that the NXT brand, people who run the brand down there, they want to bring in Samoa Joe. They want Joe on NXT. And I said on the podcast earlier today, episode 708, that this to me reeks of firing the guy so that you can rehire him at a lower salary. And if Joe is fine with that, then hey, more power to him. But that's kind of what it comes off to me as. But I have less of an issue if Joe wants to go back to NXT as much as I would if Aleister Black just went back to WWE, since apparently they have regrets about letting him go. Fuck them is what I say. But if Joe were to go back to NXT, I could see that. Because there are matches that, you know, fresh matches that Joe can have with multiple people on the NXT brand if Joe wants to get back in the ring. This, I don't know if this would manifest itself in any kind of in-ring role, but bringing Joe in? I mean, think about the history between Joe and Regal. Remember when Joe used to be in NXT? Regal! Oh, Regal! There's a history there. So think about it. If you're William Regal, and you think back in the memory vault about people that have kind of been a thorn in his side over the years, boy, you know, we can bring in Joe, and Joe can lay down the law. Things are out of control right now. We need somebody who can really kind of be the disciplinarian in NXT. I could see that being a good role for Joe, and that could lead to matches eventually for Joe with certain people. So I guess we'll see where this goes. Obviously, they're going to be bringing somebody in, whether it's to replace Regal or help him out. Joe would seem to be the name that makes the most sense. And we'll see. Daniel Bryan is still a free agent. Maybe Daniel Bryan. I mean, there's also, you know, there's been a relationship there between Regal and Bryan. But I think Joe would work better. The idea that things are just so out of control that we need somebody to come in and just lay down the law, that to me doesn't scream Daniel Bryan. That screams someone like Samoa Joe. So that was a nice little cliffhanger. I thought that was smart, actually, for them to do that, to do a little cliffhanger ending there. But when the show is over, you know, again, it just, compared to other takeovers, this was not a bad show, but it was definitely disappointing. It was definitely a step down from your usual takeover show. And the audience and the venue played a big role in that. I just hope that they understand that and that their plan is not just to stay in Orlando for the foreseeable future when it comes to these big shows. At least for the big shows, you got to get out of there. And if the main roster is going to be getting out of the Thunderdome, there's no reason you can't get out of Orlando. There's no reason. Artsy just became a Sound Off superstar. Thank you, Artsy. I thought this. Do you know Banksy? If you do, let him know that I'm a big fan of his work. I would like to buy a Banksy, but it would put me into bankruptcy if I tried to do that, so I won't. Let's head over to the Twitter poll. And see, this right here is a perfect example. I mean, this right here says it all. When I usually put up a poll for TakeOver, I mean, the thumbs up is in the 80 to 90% range. And now we have 51% thumbs up for a TakeOver show. I mean, that is barely in the positive zone. 51.5% thumbs up, 34.6% thumbs in the middle. And just shy of 14% thumbs down So that is by far the worst NXT TakeOver poll that I have ever tweeted. Now imagine if that main event was not as good as it was, what these numbers would look like. This would be a thumbs down show. So it's still thumbs up for now. I mean, the poll just went up, right? I mean, it still may end up in the negative zone, but that is the worst NXT poll. I'm almost positive that's the worst one I've ever posted. They can't all be home runs. There is a certain vibe and energy that is missing to these NXT shows that I am so looking forward to them getting back to. But here's the thing. I don't think that you can blame this just on COVID. I don't. It's going to be a real test for them when they are able to get back into buildings. How many tickets can they sell? And how enthusiastic are those crowds going to be? I would not take it for granted that when, you know, the next TakeOver show comes, which is probably going to be SummerSlam weekend in August, even if they're in a different building, they have 5,000 people in there. I wouldn't take it for granted that it's going to just sort of go back to the way things were. I mean, there has been a lull in the excitement level of NXT that even predates the pandemic. There is just a different feeling with this brand than there was 3 years ago. And I'm hoping that they can recapture some of the magic that is missing. As good as NXT still is, it is not great in the way that it used to be. And I'm hoping that they can recapture some of what they've lost. Now, I don't think you can just blame AEW either. AEW took some of their audience. You've just got to give people a product that they can get really excited about. I said in the main event, I didn't get the sense that people were overly excited to be cheering for Karrion Kross as the NXT champion. I think he can still grow into that role. I think the way they're booking him and portraying him is perfect. You know, they're portraying him as a monster, but they don't seem to be behind him in the same way that they were for some of these other people. And I think they just have to, you know, they just have to figure things out a little bit more, bring in some new faces for people like him to work with. But there's definitely something off when it comes to the NXT brand compared to how it used to be. And I say that as somebody who has been watching NXT weekly since probably 2012. So I've been watching the brand long enough to know something feels a little bit off, even though I'm still a fan of it. Before I get to your messages and your questions, if you have comments about tonight's show, if you have questions for me, drop a super chat. I'll try to get to, well, I will get to every message that you send me. But before I do, I want to mention that SoundOff 708 dropped earlier today over 2 hours of audio on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. So if you're an Apple guy, if you're a Spotify person, Pandora, whatever it may be, iHeart, Podbean, you can find the show on all those platforms. You talked about Triple H addressing the Mickie James comments about wanting all women, regardless of contractual status, to come and work the NWA All-Women's pay-per-view in August. I'm sure there's some lawyer who heard that that's licking their chops right now. Talked about some rumors about the WWE Draft, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and The Rock. Talked about that. Shayna Baszler and the fucking doll. Kenny Omega defending the Impact World title last night against Moose. And that whole scenario and a whole bunch of other stuff. So I hope you'll check out episode 708. And also, this went up a few hours ago before tonight's stream. The final, for now, Dark Side of the Ring review. About 20 minutes long. I posted it on YouTube right here on this channel. On the Dark Side of the Dynamite Kid. So if you are interested in my thoughts on that, this is the final review until September when they bring the second half of the season back. We talk about the Dynamite Kid on today's review, so please go ahead and give that a listen when you are done here. But let's flip on over to your super chats right now and take a look at what you guys and gals are talking about. Loop Cannon, the answer is no. There are plenty of free platforms. I don't know what you mean by illegal ways to listen to the podcast. What does that even mean? It's free. You can find it on any platform. I got you covered on every single major platform that you can imagine. So you don't have to go to any, you don't have to go fishing around on any weird websites to listen to the podcast. That doesn't even make any sense. So anyway, let us go back. It's a very weird Bobby Lashley look. A little creepy, not going to lie. Little creepy. Creepy Bobby. Heard of Ricky Bobby? That's Creepy Bobby. Here we go. Nayef Alsafar dropping $10. It's 2 o'clock in the morning where he is. That was 4 hours ago, so I assume Nayef is no longer awake. Thank you for the super chat. Ryan Spies. NXT needs to just stop doing ladder matches for a year. They've done so many of them in the past year. Chase Wood, I am with you. There is no need to just throw all five guys into this main event tonight. Just seems like they put them in there for the hell of it. Yeah, I'm not a fan of doing matches that way where you just throw a whole bunch of guys in there for no real reason. But they put a hell of an effort in tonight. Look, I didn't think the match was going to be anything less than good, and it ended up being great. So I can't complain about the action, but there really was no need to just shove all five guys in there at once. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $30 earlier. Jacob is a beast. Decided to pass on this takeover, but always here, he says, to support the show. And I thank you for that. Rizzo, with the $20. Tonight was the night when I agreed with you that NXT, of all the brands, has been hurt the most by no fans. Tonight's quote-unquote crowd was a major disappointment. They need to get out of the COVID Coliseum. Good show, though. Yeah, I mean, that is a big part of it. I mean, the crowds are such a... It's like if NXT was a body, like a human body, right? The crowd is the heart. They're the heart and soul of the body. And you take that away. And then look, there was a crowd there tonight. I'm not saying everybody who was sitting there tonight is chopped liver, but it's just these big takeover shows, man. They're missing something. And that is like, here a sports analogy, the third man, right? That's what the crowd is. To NXT, more so even, I think, than Raw and SmackDown. When it's not there, it's really noticeable. So I think that's a great point. Brian Becerra watched TakeOver. And it was great. Can't stick around for the review. Got to be at work in the morning. Who is going to be the change and replace Regal on NXT? Well, now you know. Now you know who I'm thinking. I just talked about it. We got TH Revolution with the $10 super chat. Not a bad show, but one of the weakest takeovers in my opinion. Everything was good. Nothing ever crossed into the great territory. Also, who is supposed to face Karrion Kross now for the title? Well, therein lies the problem. Holy smokes. My boy showing up tonight. Look at that. How did I miss this? Professor John Gotti dropping a $125 super chat. Good event. Excellent main event. Did not get finisher heavy, which is a nice breath of fresh air. The Regal cliffhanger has me excited to tune in on Tuesday. Well, that's why it was so smart. It's good to have a solid cliffhanger like that every now and then. You want to give people a reason to tune into your next show. And I thought that was a really good way of piquing people's interest. And we'll see if Joe shows up on Tuesday. You know, the rumors have been loud about him this week. I'm kind of torn on whether or not I even want to see him go back to WWE or try his hand somewhere else, but you know, NXT always treated Joe well. So I feel like him going back to NXT, if that's the choice that he makes, he would be in a better place than he would be if he just went back to Raw or SmackDown. Now, will he be wrestling or not if he comes back? We don't know. I would like to see him back in the ring, though. Unless there's a medical reason for him not to, and he just doesn't want to, I would like to see him get one more run. I think that he's got one more run left in him. And if his body can't hold out and he gets hurt again, then so be it. Then that's the end. But I feel like he's still got one solid run left in him. But John Gotti, wow. Thank you for the 125, man. I love you, brother. You know that. Rizzo with the $5. I always preferred Tom Phillips over Vic, and tonight really showed that Vic, in my opinion, is not very good. Look, he's got to stop. I don't know if he's being told to do that. I don't know if he's doing it and not realizing that he's doing it. It is fucking horrendous. It is just ridiculous. It's one thing to do it on like a big move, like, oh my God, right? Oh, I can't believe what I just saw. And you kind of react like, oh, but to do it every 5 seconds, it's almost like a nervous tic. It's all I hear when I listen to NXT commentary. Oh, ho, ha, ooh, ah. Enough. My God. Holy shit. You know what? If Samoa Joe shows up on Tuesday, I want his first act to be he puts the fucking choke on Vic Joseph and gets him the fuck out of there. Put somebody else in his spot. Dry chicken without flavor. It's time for AEW and NXT need to get the hell out of Florida. I agree wholeheartedly. Devlin Husband with the $10 super chat. I really hope WWE does not keep the piped in crowd noises, but something tells me they will. Oh, I think you're right. I think they have their new toy. They're not going to want to let it go so fast. Even if they do get back in front of actual crowds on the road, I guarantee you they're still going to be piping in crowd chants like they were tonight. But Devlin is also one of the newest members, one of the newest channel members here on YouTube. So Devlin, thank you very much. A-Rod, 0513. Excellent main event. Could you see Samoa Joe challenging Cross or for TakeOver? For Regal as the new GM. Oh, that's interesting. Who else is left for Cross if not Joe or Walter? Well, Walter is still the UK champion, so I don't know if they would do like a champion versus champion thing, or maybe it would not be for the UK title. I don't see it being Walter. Although I think Walter and Cross is an interesting match, but the idea that maybe Regal would bring in Joe and you would build to Joe and Cross for the title at TakeOver in August, that could work. I'm down for another Samoa Joe NXT title run. If Karrion Kross in the next couple of months was going to get the call, well, I'll tell you what. So one of the things I talked about on the podcast earlier are the rumors that, and I believe it was Andrew Zarian who first reported this, and then it was in the Observer on Friday, that the penciled-in dates for the WWE draft right now are August 30th, Monday Night Raw, and September 3rd for SmackDown. So that's right after SummerSlam. So if they were going to call up a Karrion Kross, and I feel like they have no choice this time but to include NXT talent to be called up, more than one, in this draft. Things are so thin when it comes to top babyfaces on the main roster. The women's divisions are not that strong. On SmackDown, it is not strong at all. They need to call up multiple people from NXT. Even if I don't want that for all these people, it is something that needs to be done. Well, if you build to Cross and Joe in August for the championship, maybe Joe wins the title and Cross goes off to the main roster. Because he's got to go. I mean, he's the perfect person that Vince McMahon should look at and love. Him and Scarlett both. I'm totally down if Joe is the one to beat Cross for the championship and get one more run as the NXT champion. I love that idea. I think that's a great idea. And the timing works out perfectly because right out of that SummerSlam weekend is the fucking draft. And Karrion Kross can go to SmackDown or he can go to Raw, and Joe could have one last run for himself in NXT. I like that idea. Hopefully now we have willed it into the universe. Maybe we can will it into existence. Rodimus Pride, I don't have the powers of Lily the doll, but I can try, right? Rodimus Prime with the $15. Watch TakeOver off and on. A bit disappointed. That main event, though, was amazing. The Comedic Genius with the $2. Hello, Solomonster. Hello, chat. How is everyone doing? I'm doing very well. I hope you are as well. Dry Chicken, I only watched the women's title match and the main event. Hit Row has caught my attention. I think Hit Row has caught everybody's attention. They had a little promo segment in the back showing off some of their new merch with Todd Pettengill. Matt McClure, you the man. Well, thank you. I don't know if I'm the man, right? Isn't that what Goldberg used to be? Bobby Heenan used to call Goldberg the man. I appreciate the compliment, though. Hulking, 93 with the $15. Steve, from the Steven Larson podcast, predicted Cross wouldn't be well received by the NXT crowd. Unsure if tonight hinted that or if it was circumstantial. Besides cheering the entrance, the boos felt like annoyance. Yeah, they're not, I don't get the impression that they're sold on him. I don't know if that's because he's not one of the sort of indie darlings who can do all the flashy moves that Johnny Gargano can do and Adam Cole can do, and he's not the wrestler that Pete Dunne is. It could be. It could be they resent him for that. They don't think he's at that level. I don't know if that's part of it or not. But I feel the same way. I'm getting that vibe. I'm getting that sense from these crowds that they're not fully buying into this yet. Ryan Spies. Where the fuck is Roderick Strong? He's probably the best wrestler they have, and he can be an excellent heel champion for them. Probably better than Cross. I got to disagree with you. I love you, Ryan, but I got to disagree. To me, he is in the same camp with Kyle O'Reilly. I don't see them as somebody you build around as the champion, the top champion on your brand. I don't see it. I think he's a great wrestler. I think he can make a great North American champion. Him as the NXT champion? No way. I don't see it. No one is doubting his ability in the ring. Character-wise, promo-wise, he's as plain as this wall that I'm looking at here. This plain white color. NXT champion, it doesn't work for me. I don't see it. But the last we saw him, he walked into William Regal's office with Marina Shafir. He handed in his resignation papers and he left. Maybe he really did quit. Maybe that wasn't a work. Maybe he was like, hey, let's just work this into a television segment. And that was it. That was the end of Roderick Strong. So I don't know. I don't really know what the plan is for him. Chris Quillman with the $20. Thank you, Chris. Nice being able to join you live tonight. I guess I'm one of the few that really enjoyed the show and thought that it felt like a special takeover pay-per-view. I do agree about Cole's music. Undisputed Era's music always felt like Cole's theme. Marquand, 1976. If Regal leaves, who will say War Games in November? Maybe they'll bring him back just to do that. Like they bring back Ron Simmons just to say damn every now and then. Or they could just kind of play a recording over the PA system of him. They could put his picture on the Titantron and then they could just play the audio over it. War Games. I don't know. I think Samoa Joe, if it were him, he could probably give us a good War Games. He's got the voice. He's got the pipes for it. Dry chicken without flavor. Choose your worst nightmare. Oh boy. Bayley laughing on the Thunderdome screens on SmackDown or Lily haunting Shayna Baszler on Raw. You have to pick one. I'm going to go with the evil doll haunting the former 416-day NXT Women's Champion and MMA fighter, Shayna Baszler. Kayfabe for the win with the $5 super chat. It felt like I was watching a regular NXT episode and not a TakeOver special. James Hollins with the $5. Should the $1 million championship be something you can cash in for an NXT title match down the line? Nah, I mean, the whole concept of cashing in and everything, it's so tired to me. I don't really like that idea. I think it's very played out, right? We have the Money in the Bank. Other promotions have their own version of that. I think the $1 million title, if you're going to have it around, it should stand on its own. I don't think you should be cashing it in for anything. Besides, if it's worth $1 million in storyline, then why the fuck would you cash it in for a title that's not worth $1 million? I'd be holding on to that like it was the Hope Diamond if it were me. James with another super chat. Actually, the same super chat. I think he sent it twice. I don't know if he meant to do that, but thank you, James. Jacob McDonald with the $4. What do you think of Cross as champion? I think he's not entertaining when you compare him to his contemporaries. I like Cross because when I hear him speak, And we've been able to kind of see him doing more of this in recent weeks. I just like when he comes out and just talks like he's an ass kicker. He's very well spoken. He's very articulate. Verbally, I think he is one of the best they have. Honestly, I mean, it depends on what he's saying in the material they give him. I think that when you compare him to some of the former champions, he's not the same wrestler that they are. He doesn't have a lot of the same skills in the ring that a lot of these other guys, smaller guys, have. If that's what you're looking for in your NXT champion, you're not going to find it. Now, when I talk about somebody like Samoa Joe, Samoa Joe has this sense of just legitimacy, ass kicker, marches down to the ring, beats the hell out of somebody. That could be Cross. We saw that tonight. He beat four guys in one match. That could be Cross. I'm not sold on his ring attire. He comes out looking like a gladiator out of Roman times. I think it would serve him better to come out. You know, when I saw him in Impact, you know, he was out there looking like Hitman, codename 47. I think that's the way to go with him. So I think he just has to fine-tune things. It's not perfect. It's not the perfect presentation. I mean, the entrance and everything looks cool, but, you know, again, the gear I'm not sold on, and I just think that if what you're looking for in your NXT champion is this great worker who's going to go in there and have the kind of match that Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano are going to have, that's not who Karrion Kross is. That's not the kind of wrestler that he is. He is an ass kicker. He's a brawler. He's not a finesse guy. He's not going to go out there and do dives. He's not going to be jumping off the top rope. He's not going to be doing code reds into, you know, different counters and stuff. That's just not who he is. It's not going to be that type of match when he is in the ring. So he's different than his contemporaries. I don't know that that necessarily is a good thing or a bad thing. He's just different. Not all these guys have to look the same and wrestle the same way. I don't really see that as being a big problem when it comes to him. But I could see maybe that being why some fans aren't totally sold on him yet in that role. Paul Heyman. I heard the reason WWE is booking Jeff Hardy as a jobber is punishment for Victory Road. I would suspect that you're getting your information from an incorrect source. You ought to stop listening to that person and pay more attention to me. I know who all the good sources are. I cite them every week on my show. I only cite the ones that I think are legit. And not the crackhead at the end of the street, which is apparently where you're getting your information from. So, Paul Heyman, please leave the crackhead alone and just pay attention to what I have to say. There's Triple H's O-face. Look at that. That was on the Paul Heyman. Look at that. He's looking at Poppy. He was popping all right. Ali Nadim. With the $5, I know no one wants NXT guys to be called up with how most of them turn out, but I do think it hurts NXT to have some people just stay forever. Well, I mean, according to Triple H, James Griffin, I heard of that movie, Money Plane. I did not see it. I think, is that the movie with Kelsey Grammer? I think Kelsey Grammer is in it too. That got horrible reviews. I did not see that movie. I know Edge is in there, but I did not see it. But Ali Nadim, look, Triple H has talked on conference calls before that NXT is its own brand now. And so you're going to have guys that are on that brand for years the way they would be on Raw and SmackDown. That's kind of what's happened to Adam Cole. Is Cole eventually going to get the call up? Probably. But look, and I like Adam Cole. He is a small man. And there are other small men who have gotten over on the main roster. Could Adam Cole be one of those guys? Maybe, but I don't know. I mean, I can only imagine Vince McMahon looking at Adam Cole standing in the ring next to somebody like a Bobby Lashley or a Drew McIntyre, just dwarfing him and immediately, like, on the spot, giving up on him. So it's one of those things where, like, be careful what you wish for. There are certain guys who might actually just be better off staying in NXT, and then when their contract is up, maybe leaving and going somewhere else instead of going to Raw or SmackDown, because things may not end up well for them on the main roster, and their size may have a lot to do with that. Same thing with someone like Gargano. Although I think Gargano would get over okay. Because Gargano, I think Gargano can be very entertaining. I dig the whole, like, the stuff with The Way and him and Austin Theory. I think that would get over just fine on the main roster. But do not underestimate the size issue. It is going to be a very big problem for some of these guys if and when they get called up. Dry chicken without flavor. I say Bobby Lashley is a better champion than Roman Reigns and Kenny Omega because MVP is great and all of the sexy ladies around him are great and smooth. I think Dry Chicken needs to get out a little bit more. Easy there, big fella. And you are incorrect. Out of all the names you mentioned there, if you force me to pick one, I think they're all fine champions. And MVP is great in his role. Don Callis is good in his role as well with Kenny. But the champion of champions right now is Roman Reigns, who is doing the best work of his entire career. All due respect to Kenny Omega. Now the AEW fans, their heads are going to explode. Naif Al-Safar, still here, brother. He is still awake. What is it, like 6 o'clock in the morning where you are? You're up. You're out of your mind. What are you still doing up? I can't believe this guy is still up. Holy shit. EJ Slemp with the $5. Do you think we'll start seeing shows at the Islanders' new arena next to Belmont Park? Will they have better crowds than the Nassau Coliseum? Probably not. The Nassau Coliseum crowds were notoriously not good. I have been a part of many Nassau Coliseum crowds. I was in the crowd, in fact, the night that Paul Heyman shit on all of us during one of the commercial breaks back in 2001 and literally called us the worst crowd that they have ever performed in front of ever in their careers. Which is an interesting thing to say to your live audience during the show while the show is still going on. So I don't know that the crowds are going to be much different. Could they go to the new arena? Yeah, sure. I think at some point they might. Paul Heyman with Ruby gone. Is Liv Morgan dead in the water? Things aren't looking good for Liv Morgan. That's what I would say about Liv. I don't think things are looking good for her. Marcus Brown, Karrion Kross, uses the same three moves all the time. Well, I heard that same criticism about John Cena. He turned out pretty well. Well, give him time. He'll learn a fourth and a fifth move. It worked for Cena. It could work for Kross. And Cena didn't have the hot woman with him either. Never underestimate the power of a very attractive valet, especially in the eyes of Vince McMahon. She's blonde, right? So Karrion Kross will be fine. Dry chicken without flavor. We could all agree to disagree, but Triple H has made a strong case for the women's division in NXT being the best or having the best in the world. V in the chat, best way is thesolomonster@gmail.com. That's the best way to get in touch. Jose Alaguna. With the $2, are the Undisputed Era doomed when they go to the main roster? I don't think that they're all going to the main roster. Paul Heyman again. Do you think WWE should have Eva Marie manage Adam Cole so that we could get Adam and Eve? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Adam and Eve. Hey, you know what? If you're worried about Adam Cole getting over on the main roster and you want to give him the best chance of success, putting him with Eva Marie, that actually is not a bad idea. At least you know he'll get TV time. But thank you, Paul Heyman. Marcus Brown with the $15 super chat. Thank you, Marcus. Who would you rather have take the NXT title away from Karrion Kross, Samoa Joe or Bronson Reed? Samoa Joe. Juan Ocampo. You look like a bootleg Conan O'Brien with the mug. Hey now. This mug is special to me. Buy or sell or rent on a Tyson Kidd level run on NXT from the main roster. John Morrison, Mustafa Ali, or Chad Gable is his name. Do not call him by that name on my stream. I will block you. I will block you one. Who would I want to have a Tyson Kidd level run? Yeah, Tyson Kidd had a fun run many years ago on NXT. I mean, of those names that you just mentioned, Gable. I'd love to see Gable come back. I mean, Gable, he's getting TV time on SmackDown with Otis, which is cool, but of those names, yeah, I gotta go with Chad. Jose Alaguna, a bit off topic, but us AEW fumbled the, what does he mean, has AEW fumbled the TNA storyline by not promoting it enough or not waiting for fans? I don't think fans in the building would give much of a shit either way. You know, if you just have a few names floating over from Impact, it's not going to make a difference. But have they fumbled it by not promoting it enough? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They have, they've not promoted it hardly at all. And I understand why they wouldn't. I mean, I guess they just see that there's really no need for them to do so. What do they really get out of it? You're not going to give them that much television time, but I definitely think they could be doing a better job when it comes to some of the bigger matches. I mean, Kenny Omega just defended the Impact title this weekend, and again, there was no mention of it until the very last minute. They even did the match at Daly's place in Jacksonville. And even on social media, I just didn't see them making that big of a deal about it. So it's nice that the lines of communication are open between these companies. I think that's a positive thing. I want to see more of that, but they're definitely not making this out to be any kind of special deal. EJ, have you ever seen Hardcore Homecoming, the other ECW reunion show that happened this week in history? If you have, do you recommend it? I have not seen it. I know Terry Funk, that was the Shane Douglas show, right? I know Terry Funk chose that show over doing the One Night Stand show. Because they wanted him for the first One Night Stand. They didn't get him for it. They got him for the second one, but not the first one. But no, I never saw the Hardcore Homecoming show. And I think now we are caught up on your Super Chats, which is awesome. So I want to thank everybody who sent in a Super Chat. That was mighty nice of you. And I do appreciate all of the support from you guys, as you well know. We also picked up a few new members so far tonight on the channel. And on that note, I do want to mention here, and I may as well mention it now before I forget, that's the button to push if you are interested in learning more about becoming a channel member here on YouTube. There's a white join button right below this video, and really any video on this channel. You click that button and it'll give you all the information you need about becoming a member. There's two different membership tiers, one of which, the higher one, will give you access to retro episodes that cannot be found anywhere else, the lost episodes, which I'm trying to put a new one up every week. But we just added a new perk. The official Sound Off Discord is now open exclusively for our channel members on YouTube. So if you would like to participate in the Discord chat and become a member over there, you become a member on either tier, doesn't matter which one, and you can join the Discord. So I want to make sure everybody is aware of that, those who may not be. The comedic genius, Adam and Eve for mixed tag challenge winners. Well, there you go. See, this idea is taken off now. Now this idea is taken off. See, Moonsault, can I call you Solo Bobster? Sure. Why not? Matthew. You better be joking, Matthew. You better be joking, buddy. Oh my goodness. Now what will I have to do to get you to resubscribe? That's the question. Let's see some of the comments that are going on here in the chat. You know, the other thing about these takeover shows is there used to be more online activity, like on Twitter and even on YouTube. And you just don't, you could tell, like, the overall interest level is down from what it used to be. I see it in just the reaction to some of these, you know, takeover recaps. Hopefully they can get a little bit of that back. Dry Chicken, I wonder what would be Vince McMahon's seven deadly sins. Calling it wrestling. Calling it a belt. Let's come up with all the things that he hates. Let's see. Alejandro, how would you think a Cross and Roman feud would be? I think that would be interesting. Could make for some interesting promos between those two. Does the new membership tiers include your old rants on Matt Hardy car crashes? Indeed it does. Although they haven't been uploaded yet. I'm working on that. But yes, if it's in the first 84 episodes of the show that I ever did. And actually, I think the Matt Hardy rants came later on, so they're probably already on the feed. But if they're in the early episodes, then yes, they would be included in there as well. Now, Vita says, I have not watched a wrestling show in months. I'm just here to listen. Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who would say the same thing. They watch, they listen to my reviews, other people's reviews, and they don't really even watch the shows anymore. Sneezing. Somebody said sneezing. Yes, Vince McMahon apparently hates sneezing based on what people have said. Well, you know what? That's something he and I share in common. I fucking hate it when people sneeze in front of me, too. So, me and Vince have we at least have that in common. Chadwick says I'd be up for Reigns against Cross at Survivor Series. I don't know about that. That's going to be a loss for Karrion Kross, because nobody has beaten Roman anytime soon. Wrestle Austin wants to know, who are some of my other favorite wrestlers besides Bret Hart? Randy Savage was a favorite of mine. I mean, obviously, growing up, Hulk Hogan was a favorite. And you know, when I look back now, you know, Bret Hart, Randy Savage. I like Mr. Perfect, actually. I was a big Mr. Perfect fan. I don't know if that would be my top three. It would definitely be Bret and Macho Man. And Demolition. As far as tag teams go, Demolition was a favorite of mine. Frost says, wrestling's decline is my gain. That's not how I look at it. I do a wrestling show. Wrestling's decline is going to hurt everybody. So, I look at it a little bit differently than you do. That's why I say I want wrestling to do well. I want everybody to do well. And when they don't do well, that's why I get so pissed off. Because it affects all of us. It's like, get your fucking act together. That's why I get so animated. I take it personally, because it affects me and my business here. Cody, hey, awesome show you have. Been listening for years. Thank you, Cody. I appreciate that. Buy or sell Baron Corbin or QT Marshall? Oh, my God. Baron Corbin. I'll buy on Baron Corbin before I buy on QT Marshall. Tay704 in the chat says, I love your rants, though. Well, you got plenty of them in the archives. There's a ton of them. You can get them for free right now. They're on the feed. You just got to know which episodes to look for. I've ranted on plenty of shit over the years. Didn't Brock already break Punk's record? No, I don't believe so. Brock had the belt. He lost it. He got it back a few times. I don't believe he's broken Punk's record. Sure, somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. Chris Statlander would be offended if someone said E.T. the movie sucks. Have you ever thought about growing a beard? I've thought about it, but it doesn't. It's too light. The color is too light. You don't really see it. It doesn't really work. Early in the pandemic, I kind of had I had one going and couldn't stand it, and I got rid of it. It was a bitch to get it off. I couldn't just, shave it normally. It was long enough where it was like a whole process. I go, who the fuck has time for this? Yeah, Turbo says Brock has not come close to Punk. I didn't think he did. Hogan's leg drop was not as effective as you grow up. Undertaker was the first wrestler I ever liked, says Wrestle Austin, and the one that got me to love wrestling. KC is trying to picture me with a Jim Neidhart beard, so I can grab it like a ZZ Top beard. Bring back the afro, says Vita. No. We're not doing that. I do not miss those days. You want to see that? You can go back to a year ago and those streams from May and June of last year. My hair will never be like that again. I will never allow it to get to that point again. Yeah, Kenny Omega is dealing with a whole bunch of different nagging injuries. He's pretty banged up right now. He's got to hold out, though. He's got to at least hold out until All Out. I'd like to see him hold out until Full Gear, but that's the end of the year. I mean, I don't want to torture the guy if he's that hurt. At least hold out until Labor Day weekend. He can get there, and he can drop the belt, and then he can drop all of his belts, and he can take as much time off as he needs. Paul Heyman says, I should watch Ethan Page's YouTube channel. Yeah, I don't think I should. Chris says, I used to be really into NXT, but New Japan and Kenny stole me away. Am I going to watch the China documentary on Thursday on Vice? I'm on the fence. I'll probably end up watching it at some point. If I do, I'll probably do a review, but I don't know. Kind of 50-50 on that. Who is going to beat Omega? Strowman. No. That would be insanely stupid. Hangman Page. Hangman Page is going to beat Kenny Omega to become the AEW champion. All right, let's check the poll one last time here. See if things have changed. If we're still above the 50% mark on the thumbs up side. Oh, it went down a little bit. Still barely above 50, but look at that. 50.6%. Thumbs up. Barely in positive territory. May never see that again with an NXT show. Like I said before, that's the worst result so far for an NXT TakeOver show that I have ever tweeted. Undertaker's reaction right there on your screen says it all. Do I think the NWA could sign Braun to beat Nick Aldis? Yeah, I wouldn't just bring Braun Strowman in and just beat the champion on day one. I mean, if you're going to bring Braun in, you can build him up to that. I'm sure they could find somebody a little more interesting than Braun Strowman. Wrestle Austin, do I have a favorite match of all time? I don't know if it's just one match. I have a lot of matches I love. A lot of them involve Bret Hart, but not all of them. You know, my favorite WrestleMania match of all time, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, WrestleMania 25. But their Hell in a Cell match in 97 is one of my favorite matches. And I have a lot of favorite matches. I don't know if I could just boil it down to one. That's tough. Ryan Spies dropped a $4.99 super chat. Nick Gage against Matt Cardona is the best feud in wrestling right now, and it's not even close. Should Eddie Edwards beat Omega for the Impact title? No. No, absolutely not. Yeah, Beowulf 13. I was thinking more in terms of like singles matches and stuff, but I guess if you opened it up to every match, then yeah, I guess maybe the 1992 Royal Rumble match itself would be my favorite match of all time. Probably that would be the case. You're right about that. Brian Blair, probably not that one. What are your thoughts on Triple H's thoughts on the fans from this past week? Well, you got to listen to episode 708 from earlier today. I talked about that at length. And I did mention the promo on Raw from many years ago where he mocked the fans and said, I'm going to stop watching. And they did. A lot of those fans did stop watching. But yeah, go listen to today's podcast because I talked a lot about Triple H's comments. Brian Oxley, thank you for the sub. Rocco Sandwiches with the $5 super chat. Why are you 50-50 on the China doc? Do you think it will be a hit piece? No, I mean, it's just, I know, like, I enjoy the Dark Side of the Ring episodes. I think the producers do a very good job. This is not Dark Side of the Ring. It's just a Vice documentary. And so I'm a little, I don't know, I'm a little unsure about what their approach is going to be and how interesting it's really going to be. I probably will watch it, but I'm just not feeling it right now. Jeff Cole, thoughts on Davey Richards returning to MLW? Well, good for him. I mean, we have not seen Davey Richards in how many years has it been since we've seen him? And Davey Richards is a very good wrestler, and we'll see how he does in MLW. I know they just had their big draft. They're going to be coming back with shows in front of fans next month, and Dario Cueto, under a different name now, is going to be part of MLW, and I'm going to have to check that out just to see what they're doing with him, because I'm a huge Lucha Underground fan, and if they're going to tie into Lucha Underground somehow, that's one way to pique my interest. Ray Rosini, Solomonster, you should do radio. You have a really deep DJ voice. You're a true fan. Keep up the great work. Thank you, sir. I did radio for 3.5 years, but I did it as an engineer. I was only on the air for, well, I mean, I was on the air a bit. The people I was engineering for put me on the air, and we'd talk about random stuff. Not wrestling, though. I remember going to the program director. They wanted me to do my own show, and I said, that's great. I want to do a wrestling show. And they didn't really have a lot of interest in that. And I said, well, then I don't have a lot of interest in doing anything beyond engineering. And I went back, and I just engineered for the next 3.5 years, and that was the end of that, so I really didn't have any interest in what they wanted me to do. Wanted me to do like a rock and roll show or something. Like, fuck. I mean, I like listening to rock and roll. I'm not doing a rock and roll show. I wanted to do a wrestling show. They wouldn't let me do it, so I said, fuck off. That was the end of my radio career. But now at least I get to talk about stuff I actually want to talk about. Paul Heyman, are you doing a Slammiversary review? No. I have no plans on doing one at this time. West Coast James, I just got home after working all day. I'm about to watch NXT TakeOver in your house, but looking at the poll results, what the fuck? Yeah, it's not a bad show, but this was not a TakeOver that got a lot of people very excited. The poll results are very surprising, though. If you did not watch the show and you just looked at the poll, you would be very surprised. Who do I see possibly winning the Royal Rumble? Yeah, it's too early. It's too early. It's June, dude. Come on, man. It's June. It's like asking me, who do I think is going to win Money in the Bank in 2022? I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead. Someone wants to know if I'm wearing pants. That's a very bizarre question. I will leave that up to you to figure out if I am indeed wearing pants. Now, will Brock Lesnar return this summer? I think he should. Will he? It's not looking great, but I would love to see Lesnar and Lashley at SummerSlam. I think that's the match to do for the WWE title. Will you review Love and Hip Hop again? You should. Your reviews were hilarious. Well, you guys got to let me know when the new season starts, because, and I assume it still airs on a Monday night. I would consider it. I would consider going back and forth between Raw and Love and Hip Hop. Thomas, you don't have to keep putting that message in the chat. I heard you the first time. So the mods are going to put you out of here if you keep doing that. I'm not doing a video on Jeff Jarrett's Reign of Terror in TNA. I don't think anybody really wants to hear about Jeff Jarrett's Reign of Terror. They didn't want to live through it the first time. And I don't know what I would say to do a video on his reign of terror. What am I going to talk about? The fact that, you know, he was all over the TNA shows and every fucking main event of every TNA show was overbooked to shit, which it was during that run. Beyond that, I don't really even know what I would talk about. Frost757, Thomas, it's fine. I just, you know, I saw the message. I just don't want you to keep saying the same thing over and over again because they'll boot you. So I don't want them to boot you. Mr. Robert, look at this. Dropping $25 here. I'm about to head off. Enjoyed the stream more than the show, but usually the live streams are better than most of these shows. Thank you, Solomon. So, well, Robert, have yourself a good night. I'm glad I could keep you entertained for a couple of hours here. We're going to wrap up here in a second, but I appreciate that. Have I seen any episodes of Law and Order Organized Crime? I have. I watched the entire season and I loved it. And that was a hell of a finale, too, for season one. I know ratings-wise, it didn't do that great, but I can't imagine they're not going to bring it back for a second season. They better bring it back. I want to know what was in that note that he gave to Benson. But yeah, I'm still watching SVU and Organized Crime. I mean, they just had their finales, but I'm watching them every week. Am I going to review the all-women's pay-per-view in August for the NWA? Maybe. Depends what the card is, who's on it. Possibly. Ian Gomes. Will Cross just beat every single contender until there is no one left and then go to the main roster? Sure looks that way. But I like the Joe idea that I talked about a little while ago. What was the last good movie that I saw? Well, I mean, if you want to know the last good movie I saw, it was last night. I was watching something on YouTube and I noticed in the recommendeds on the sidebar that on YouTube, you can watch the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie from 1990 for free. I said, oh, I haven't seen that movie in years. And I clicked on it. And I was only going to watch it for a few minutes. And I ended up watching the entire thing, all 90 minutes. It's a good movie. The original was a darker movie than the other ones they did. But that was a good movie. So that was the last good movie I saw. It was last night. I was watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I was not planning on doing. Yeah, Casey Jones was awesome in the first Turtle movie. You know, the funny thing about that was someone just asked me about Law and Order or Organized Crime. I, for the longest time, thought that the actor who played Casey Jones in the first Turtles movie was Chris Maloney. Because to me, they look almost identical. And then I found out it wasn't. It was some other actor. I was blown away. I thought it was Chris Maloney. Dry chicken without flavor. Is AEW holding off potential good ideas until they go back on the road? I won't be watching Dynamite on Friday until the Omega Jungle Boy match. Well, you're not going to be watching that match either because that's not airing on Friday. That's airing on Saturday, August 26th, or August. June 26th. By the way, I will be going live on YouTube for a Dynamite review that Saturday. And then finally, that Wednesday, the 30th, is when we go back to the normal schedule. So the Dynamite reviews here on the channel will be resuming in about 2 weeks. Brian Blair, even if the NXT takeovers are not very good, they're still better than mostly anything else WWE puts out. It's not as good as it was before going to 2 hours on USA. Now, ever since they expanded the show and they moved to USA, it's not been the same. I agree. Thoughts on Fright Night? Love it. One of my favorite movies. All right, guys, this has been fun. I appreciate all of the questions. You guys were bringing the heat in the chat tonight. I love it. I love to see it. One more thing I want to mention, because Hell in a Cell is 1 week away, and so we're going to be back here live next Sunday night at the end of the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. You come on back to the YouTube channel here, and we'll talk about the event, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I will review the entire thing, but also Wrestle Rumble has a Hell in a Cell Pick'em contest. First place, $1,000 grand prize. The way it works is contestants earn points by correctly answering prop questions about the pay-per-view. The winners will be announced the day after the pay-per-view on June 21st at WrestleRumble on Twitter and on Instagram as well. So go to WrestleRumble.com. You can pay for an entry, and hey, for a $10 entry, you can end up $1,000 richer. That's a profit of, what was that, $9,990? I mean, it's not a bad deal. So shout out to WrestleRumble. Do support them. They provide a fine service for all wrestling fans. How necessary is a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, says Abdul Rahman. It's not necessary at all. There should be no Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. None. Hell in a Cell should be reserved for matches and feuds that warrant Hell in a Cell. Not because, oh, it's June. Or, oh, it's October. It's not necessary at all. All right, thank you again for all of the Super Chat love, all the new members and new subscribers tonight. Welcome to the channel. Do check out all the other content we have, including my Dark Side of the Ring review, which went up a few hours ago on the Dynamite Kid. And do check out episode 708 if you did not see it. I might be going live on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. doing Hell in a Cell predictions. Not a done deal yet. I want to take a look at how fleshed out the card is by Wednesday, but follow me on Twitter. I'll let you guys know if I'm going live. We'll do this again on Wednesday night, maybe. Talk about Hell in a Cell, do some predictions for the pay-per-view. So, until then, be well, stay safe. Have yourselves a fantastic rest of your night, and I will see you guys back here for another live stream after Hell in a Cell next Sunday on the channel. Until then, have a good night. Go vote on Twitter at Solemn Monster in the poll. Take care, guys.